Canto 17. Remember, reader, if you've ever been caught in the mountain mist, so nothing could, except as moles see through the skin, be seen, how when the day showed signs of coming good, the dense white vapors started to unclasp, and through them the sun's feeble disk appeared. Remember that, and your mind soon may grasp how I, at first, and as its setting neared, now saw the sun again. And so I came, my step matched to my guide's in that pale glow, forth from the fog to see the beams whose flame was close to dying on the beach below. Imagination! With your power to steal our thoughts at times away from actual things, so that although a thousand trumpets peal around us, still we pay no heed, who stings you into life when our dulled senses feel nothing to offer you? The light that moves your workings takes its form in heaven, by itself, or by God's will, which, if that proves to be the Maker, sends it down the sky to you. A Philomela's sister, when pursued for her foul deed, she changed her shape into a nightingale, the imprint then entered my thoughts. My mind tried to escape. Ah, Procne! How your crime dismayed all men! Into itself, so nothing from outside could be received. But then came raining down, through my high fantasy, the crucified figure of Haman, scornful his fierce frown, dying in anger, and around him were Ahasuerus in his greatness, and Esther his queen. It was because of her that Haman's plot against Jews in that land was foiled. And there her cousin Mordecai, of such integrity in word and deed. And as the image on my inner eye paled by itself, a bubble in sore need of the water that it formed in, there arose the vision of a girl in bitter tears, and she said, "Queen, how was it that you chose from anger to cut short your natural years? You died for me, for your Lavinia, to keep me. But you should have loved me less, and now I am the one who mourns for far more than the ruin of my Turnus. Yes, the wreck I weep for endlessly is yours." As sudden new light causes sleep to break, which being broken fitfully restores itself before it fades and we're awake, so my imagination fell away, as soon as a bright light shone in my face, brighter by far than in our usual day. I turned to get my bearings in this place, when through the dazzle I heard some voice say, "Here is the place to climb." So I was drawn away from all thoughts else, and my desire to see that speaker had so white a dawn, it needs no rest, for it will never tire until we meet at last. But as the sun weighs down our vision with excess of fire and veils its outline with its power to stun, just so my power at this point came up short. "A spirit hidden in its sacred light," my leader said, as if spurred by my thought, "is guiding us unsought from height to height, as we ourselves might give ourselves support, no questions asked. For he who waits to ask is of a mind to face refusal. Now, let's time our steps in answer to the task of going where he points, and so somehow ascend before it darkens. After that, we can't go on until the sky turns fair." Into the stairway, which we now were at, we turned our steps together, and right there, on the first step, I thought I felt a wing beside me fan my face, and clearly heard, "Beati Pacifici." The key thing it said next I remember word for word. "They have no sin of anger." Lingering, the last light rays were shining far aloft, so high up on the hill that the sky's sides were spattered with the points still sparse and soft of the first stars. "Night comes while day abides." "My strength," I said within myself, "why do you drain away?" For in my legs I felt the force suspended. Here the stairs came to their end, and I could sense my impulse melt like a ship approaching shore, as in the new circle I listened for a while to see if anything was happening, then said, "Kind father, what offense is it, tell me, that is purged here?" "Our feet may have been led to stillness, but let not your speech be still." and he. The love of good is here restored, that fell short of its duty. With a will the oar is plied anew that had grown bored and trifled with the water. To fulfill your hope more quickly of an easy mind, turn it to me, and you will benefit from this delay. My son, as you will find deep in your knowledge and informing it, neither creator, no, nor any kind of creature was there ever without love, if of the mind or natural. It may not the natural heir, and ranks above the other in that aspect. Minds have got two ways to err in love. The wrong object, or else the vigor with which love's pursued. There might be excess, there might be defect. Directed at the primal good, imbued with no more than a rational respect toward the second thing, the world, it won't cause sinful pleasure. But when evil turns its head, or when its inner counsels don't govern the rate at which its longing burns for serving its own good, perhaps too much, perhaps too little, then the creature spurns its own creator, and the two lose touch except as adversaries. From that fact, you'll understand that love must be the source in you of every virtue and vile act deserving punishment. Since love, of course, can never turn against the one who feels the love, but has his welfare most at heart. All beings are protected by strong seals against self-loathing. No one is apart from the first one, none self-sustaining. No creature can be cut off by hating him. Only a neighbor's evil is loved so. And this love, in your human life and limb, the common clay in which you come and go, springs up in three ways. There is he that hopes to rise beside his neighbor's sharp descent, and looks with favor when the downward slopes demote another's greatness, as was meant to be, he thinks. And he thinks that from pride. There's he that fears his power might be lost, and all his honor and high state denied, because another has them at his cost, or so he feels, although they rank the same. Sorely aggrieved, he longs to see reverse the other's rise to equal power and fame, and it's by envy that he has been cursed. The third man feels disgraced by some insult, and hungers for revenge, and plots and plans, and makes another's harm into a cult which hangs around the house like pots and pans, and this is anger. These are the three kinds of love gone wrong they weep for back in those three circles you've just come through. In their minds, they had the vice, and they do not suppose to be excused, although the sin remained just a propensity, mere sinfulness. But now there is still more to be explained. Those who pursue the good, but strive with less than their full measure to attain it. All, although confused, find good to apprehend in which the mind can rest. This they may call an object of desire, a fruitful end they try to reach. But should they try and fail sufficiently to see or gain the goal, this terrace here, and all it must entail of penitence, awaits each slothful soul with torments for its fault. And then beyond this terrace rise a further three, to hold those who were far from feeble but too fond of all the pinchbeck that they thought was gold, the pleasures of the world, which give no joy, which don't ring true, but click like counterfeit. The earthbound goods fit only to destroy good's essence and to draw love by deceit. Love lost like that is wept for up above in those three circles. But the three distinct divisions of that all too faithful love I won't describe now. How they're interlinked will be apparent to your intellect when you, through toil, have learned what to expect.